Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, we hear from one of the greatest passages from John's Gospel, the story of the woman at the well. Now, the first thing that we can take from the story is that we are all meant to identify with this woman. This woman represents all of humanity. We are in this woman's place. We are being drawn into the life of Christ, drawn into the grace that God offers each and every one of us. Notice how it begins. It says, Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. Now, what we have to understand in John's Gospel, it is heavily laden or saturated with symbolism. Nothing is accidental in John's Gospel. All the details matter. In fact, no detail should be unattended to. The first thing that we have to know is Jesus is passing through this Samaritan town. Now, if you were a good Jew, you would walk around the town. You wouldn't go through it. Why? Because Samaritans were considered half-breeds by the Jews. They were former Jews that intermarried with Assyrians who invaded centuries before. Therefore, the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans. They thought that they were second-class citizens, half-breeds. Therefore, a good Jew would always walk around a Samaritan town, let alone go into it. Well, the first important thing that we have to take from this is Jesus goes directly through this town. Which means what? Jesus loves all people, especially sinners. He sits down at the well and he rests. Now, if you study the Old Testament, wells are associated with marriage. Isaac meets his wife Rebekah at a well. Jacob meets his wife Rachel at a well. Moses, Zechariah, his wife, he also meets at a well. Here, the symbolism is great. Jesus here wants to marry us. Jesus wants to enter into a marriage between humanity and himself. That's why if you read all four of the Gospels, from time to time, Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom and that we, the church, are the bride. That's the level of intimacy that Jesus wants with us all. Now notice also, John specifies the time. Again, nothing is by accident in John's Gospel. No detail should be unattended to. Noon is the hottest part of the day. Most people go to the well early in the morning because it's nice and cool. And yet this woman is going at a very awkward time. Well, this tells us a little bit about this woman, but we'll get back to that a little bit later. Next, Jesus says to the woman, "Give me a drink." Now, this is very peculiar. In the ancient world, it was a patriarchal society. Men never addressed women like this, especially in public, in such a frank and direct manner, especially a complete stranger. More to it, Jews and Samaritans, they never spoke to one another. Jesus is a Jew. This woman is a Samaritan. They never ask for anything for each other. They hate each other. And yet, what is Jesus really doing? He's inviting her to be generous when he says, "Give me a drink." St. Augustine, when reflecting upon this gospel passage, said, "God is thirsting for this woman's faith. He's thirsting for generosity." Generosity. Generosity essentially is for us to be more like Christ. What is sin? It's a lack of generosity. Now, what does the woman say? How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? See, she even acknowledges that this is a strange request on behalf of Christ. And yet, how does Jesus respond? He says, if you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Well, Jesus is the gift of God. He is God himself. Now, people who live in the desert know that water is important. Water is life itself. Without it, you die. Living water that Jesus is referring to is basically his grace. Lost by the sin of Adam and Eve, now Jesus wants to give this woman grace and participation in his life. Now the woman is a little skeptical. That's why she says, Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Jesus' response, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. Again, St. Augustine, when reflecting upon this gospel passage, said, The well that this woman keeps coming to is a symbol of addicted desire. St. Augustine gives us that very famous quote, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and therefore our hearts are restless until they rest in you, my God. We are all ordered to God. Each and every one of us has an infinite longing for the divine in our life. However, the problem is when we hook that infinite longing for the divine onto something other than God in this world, the goods of this world, we become addicted to them. We go back to them time and time again. See, those are the wells. The wells come in different forms: fame, fortune, notoriety, wealth, honor. Whatever it is, we drink from that well and we become thirsty again and again. None of these things are God, and therefore they will never satisfy us. That's why we keep going back to them again and again. This woman is doing the same thing. The symbolism for all of us is that if we attach that infinite longing for God onto the goods of this world, we will keep going back to that well again and again. Now notice what Jesus says. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A good question that we have to ask ourselves during this season of Lent, what well do we drink from? Do we truly drink from the well of Jesus Christ and are satisfied with our thirst? Or do we drink from a well that is something other than Christ? The well of fame, fortune, power, honor, wealth, whatever it is. And see, this is the reason why we are meant to be in this story. This is the reason why this woman represents all of humanity. Now, next, the story takes a turn. Jesus says to the woman, Go call your husband and come back. Now, why does this woman come at the worst time of the day, when it's the hottest? And why does she come to the well when she knows no one is going to be there? It was a common custom in the ancient world for women to come to the well and get the water. And this was always done in the early morning, when it was the coolest part of the day. More to it, when the women went to the well, it was a means of socializing. They would see their friends, their neighbors, their family members. They would catch up on news or gossip. There would be a lot of people at that well. And see, now this woman comes at noon, the hottest part of the day, and she knows no one's going to be there. She's avoiding the crowds. Now we begin to understand why she comes to the well at this time. It's because probably she is a person of moral suspect. Jesus says to her that she has had five husbands, and the person that she's living with now is not her husband. Now this is very important. If there's one thing that we have to take from this gospel, it's this. Jesus doesn't begin his conversation with the woman by raising this topic. He doesn't begin the conversation with this woman by condemning her. Instead, Jesus first begins the conversation with this woman by alluring or inviting her to participate in the life of Christ. It's an invitation of God's grace. And yet, once drawn into the grace of Jesus Christ's invitation, now this woman is ready to hear the truth. Now, what are we to make of this? Well, we are all sinners. We are like this woman ourselves. And yet, Jesus comes into our life and he first offers us an invitation to participate in his divine life. He offers us an invitation to his grace. Once we accept that invitation, we too, like this woman, are drawn into God's grace. And now we know we must change. We can no longer be that same old person we used to be. We must look honestly at ourselves and at our sin, and it compels us to change and be a better person. And see, the woman does acknowledge that. That's why she says to Jesus, "You are right in saying I do not have a husband, for I have had 5 husbands, and the one I am living with is not my husband." And now she sees Jesus as a prophet. What does Jesus say next? "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him." Worship, worship. Worship is at the very heart of our life. What is sin? Sin, in essence, is bad worship. We put something other than God at the very center, at the heart of our life. And that's precisely why we, like this woman, go back to that well over and over again. And yet, Jesus is offering us now true worship. He wants our heart and our mind and our soul to be aligned with him. See, then everything falls in harmony. Everything in our life falls into place. One last thing to note. It says at the very end, "The woman left her water jar and went to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything that I have done.'" Once again, every detail in John's gospel must be attended to. She leaves the water jar at the well. Why? Because she no longer needs it. She is no longer going to go to that well again and again. Instead, now she drinks from the living water of Jesus Christ. That's the well that she is now going to. That's why she leaves that water jar behind. She is in no need of it at all. This woman now has aligned her heart, her mind, and her soul to Jesus Christ. Her life is ordered to Christ. More to it, she goes back into the town and she begins to tell all the great things that Jesus Christ has done for her to the very people that have ostracized her, the very people that she avoided. Now she is going up to them and telling the great experience that she had with Jesus Christ. This is exactly what we do. When we read a great book, when we see a great movie, we're compelled to tell family members or friends, you know, "You got to go see this movie. It'll change your life forever." That's exactly what's going on right now. This woman is compelled, because of her experience with Christ, to tell people about everything that Jesus has done for her. Well, so must we. My friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week. You can't afford not to. Reread this gospel passage of the woman at the well from John's gospel. Put yourself in the place of this woman. And in doing so, now is the time. Now is the time to accept the invitation of God's grace to participate in the life of Christ. And in doing so, change your lives. Change your lives for the better. It compels us all. Align your heart, your mind, and your soul to Jesus Christ. And then you will always drink from the living water. You will always drink from the well of Jesus Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.